The following conference is one of a second series of retreat conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J. Father Hardin is a professor of theology and teaches at the Pontifical Institute for Advanced Studies in Catholic Doctrine at St. John's University in New York. Father is well known as a lecturer, retreat master, and author. This second series of retreat conferences has proved to be of great spiritual inspiration and assistance to priests, religious, and laity alike, because like all of Father Hardin's conferences, one can be well assured they are founded on solid Catholic doctrine. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, the sacrifice of the Mass. Father Hardin.
The subject of the present conference is the sacrifice of the Mass, and we. We know that in sacred writing and in the teachings of the Church, the Mass has acquired a variety of synonymous names. It is called the Eucharistic Sacrifice, or the Eucharistic Liturgy, or simply, the Liturgy. It is the Eucharistic Celebration, the Holy Sacrifice, the Sacrifice of the Altar. All of this reflects the richness of mystery revealed to us by Christ when he instituted the Mass on the night before he died. It also indicates that there has been a remarkable development of doctrine regarding the Mass. We know, of course, the revelation itself has been, as we believe, completed with the end of the Apostolic Age. But there is such a thing as a church's growth in understanding the meaning of what has been revealed. Development of doctrine, therefore, means progress in the understanding of the mysteries of the faith, here, of the mystery of the Mass. In fact, the modern liturgical movement, which the Second Vatican Council developed to a degree never before known in the history of the Church, this modern liturgical movement is only a reflection and expression of a development of doctrine where the Church now more clearly and deeply understanding what the Mass means, understandably, would have that deeper understanding reflect itself in the lives of the faithful. For the present conference, my plan is to see something of the riches of faith revealed to us in the mystery of the Mass as sacrifice. And as sacrifice not once, but many times over, namely that it is, and we should remind ourselves, a sacrifice of propitiation, of petition, of praise, of gratitude, and of love. And all the while in reflecting on the mystery of the Mass from these different perspectives, applying the insights to ourselves. Before we begin, however, to reflect on each of these different perspectives of the Mass, we might first ask ourselves and briefly answer, how is the Mass a sacrifice at all? In general, any sacrifice is the surrender of something precious to the God in whom the person or people believe. In this sense, sacrifice is perhaps the most common denominator of man's religion. All religions have sacrifice. Insofar as they believe in any transcendent being, or for that matter, beings, they also practice sacrifice, whereby they somehow give up or destroy or do without or give away something they like that qualifies therefore as precious to them in response to or recognition of the God in whom they believe. For us, the sacrifice of the Mass began at the Last Supper, and it ended on Calvary. It began at the Last Supper because it was there, surrounded by the 12, that the Savior did two things. He first himself transformed the elements of bread and wine into his own body and blood, and by separately consecrating each element, signified the separation of his body and blood that would be the expression of his death on the next day. He therefore both transubstantiated bread and wine into himself, and he offered himself to his Heavenly Father. That first Mass began in the upper chamber in Jerusalem. It finished when Christ died on the cross. But as we believe, he not only did this himself, but gave to his apostles and through them to their successors until the end of time the power, and that's the word, the power to do the same. They therefore were ordained priests on Holy Thursday night. And by the laying on of hands over the centuries, other priests have been ordained after them. But now an important qualification before we begin our more particular analytic reflections. Where Christ, from the Last Supper to Calvary, sacrificed only himself in his own physical person, once he died, and because he had anticipated and therefore given the apostles the power to do the same, the Mass since Calvary on, he is not only, though of course also, Christ's sacrifice of himself. It is also the sacrifice of ourselves. The Mass, therefore, unlike Calvary, is not only the oblation of Jesus in his own physical person, it is the oblation of him as head of the mystical body and of us, his members. He then making the sacrifice in the Mass of himself and us, and bidding us to join in sentiment by offering ourselves along with himself, having offered and now continuing to offer himself on the altar. Consequently, as the Church bids us say, the Mass is the sacrifice of the mystical body, head and members, head first. It is Christ reenacting just what he did on Calvary, though now his sacrifice, or better, his part of the sacrifice, is unbloody, because he can no longer die. Oh, but ours can and should be quite bloody. Whether by the shedding of the blood of our bodies, if it is God's will, but certainly by the shedding of the blood of our spirits. So it's he and we, together, offering the Eucharistic sacrifice. Having said that as a backdrop, we wish now to reflect, and not only doctrinally on the faith, but ascetically, insofar as we are to learn from the faith what we should do about it, because the Mass is not merely to be believed, it's to be lived. And we live the Mass insofar as we live lives of sacrifice. The question, however, we now ask ourselves is, what are the different ways in which the Mass is a sacrifice? And because it's our sacrifice, what are the different ways in which we, along with Christ, are to offer ourselves with him to the Heavenly Father? We begin by observing the obvious. There is, of course, only one sacrifice of the Mass. The same today that has been offered ever since Calvary. But while the sacrifice, qua sacrifice, in reference to God, is only one, it can and does have different purposes from our viewpoint for which it may and should be offered. We used to talk, and for years we haven't been talking this language. Well, let's start talking it again. We used to talk about the different ends of the Mass. Maybe the word was unfortunate, ends. So what's an end? Well, the end is the edge of something. Well, yes. But the end, properly speaking, is the purpose. It is the motive or the reason why something is done. There are, we believe, no less than five purposes, one enveloping the other. We distinguish them in mind. In reality, every Mass is always all five. Yet for our purpose of reflection, we should separately meditate on each for a few minutes to see how differently we are to practice sacrifice in union with the sacrifice of the Mass. Because given different purposes, there will be a different volitional response. We then speak with the Church about the Mass as having different ends, as we used to say, or different motives, as we can now say, for which we unite ourselves, that is, our oblation with the oblation of the Savior on the altar. These purposes are not the same, and they differ according to the volitional motive or stimulus, if you wish, that Christ has and that we now have for making the sacrifice. Before we begin reflecting in more detail, let me just say that no one makes any sacrifice without a purpose. Hence the importance of strongly convincing ourselves that we have not one but many purposes for offering sacrifice, and always then joining our oblation with Christ's. First, the Mass is a propitiation for sin. On Christ's side, naturally, when he offered himself on Calvary, or now offers himself in the Mass, the sacrifice as a propitiation for sin cannot be for his own sins. He is sinless. But where he is sinless, we are sinners. Consequently, while his purpose in offering the Mass is to expiate the sins of mankind, no longer, of course, as though the Mass adds to Calvary, because man's sins have been expiated as to merit. But while they have been expiated in the sense that he merited all the graces that mankind needs to be saved, there must continue to be a sacrifice, so Christ wants it, in order to apply these merits. And this means especially to dispose sinners to receive the merits which Christ gained on the cross. however, when we offer the Mass as a propitiation for sin, clearly begin with our own sins. We are first of all sinners and having a sinful nature. So then we offer the Mass as a sacrifice in order to obtain grace from God, to get more and more mastery of this sinful nature that we've got. The Church has defined that the Mass is the most powerful means we have for reducing concupiscence. It is especially through the Mass that our passions, our masters, that our evil tendencies are controlled, that the wellings up of our fallen nature are kept in check. We also, when we offer the Mass, offer it in expiation for our past sins. Now you might say, haven't our sins been forgiven? Yes, they have. But we know there's such a thing as expiating something that has already been forgiven by making up the debt that we owe because we have sinned, especially the debt of penalty for sin. Our union of sacrifice with a Mass reduces the punishment that we have deserved for our sins. Saint Leonard, on one occasion, and I've been quoting him ever since I read this, observe that except for the Mass being offered on thousands of altars throughout the world by now would long ago have been destroyed because of its sins. Secondly, the Mass is a sacrifice of petition for our needs. What don't we need? And although there are physical needs of which we are painfully conscious, actually, our physical needs, whether of body or of emotion, are only God's ways of reminding us of our deeper spiritual needs. In a word, we need grace, light for the mind, strength for the will. It is not only grace to save our souls, it is especially for our purpose, grace to grow in holiness. St. Ignatius put into the constitutions of the Society of Jesus this statement at the head of the means by which the Society would both survive and do its work for the good of souls. The most important and powerful means that the Society of Jesus has for obtaining the grace it needs is from the sacrifice of the Mass.
please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.